Take your Bibles again this afternoon. Turn with me to the book of Matthew. Matthew chapter 16. And verse 18. And I say also unto thee, that thou art Peter, and upon this rock I will build my church, and the gates of hell shall not prevail against it. Turn with me now to the book of Ephesians. Chapter 5. Verse 23. For the husband is the head of the wife, even as Christ is head of the church, and he is the Savior of the body. In verse 32, this is a great mystery, but I speak concerning Christ and the church. What is the church? That is what we have been looking at for the past several weeks and will continue to look at. What constitutes the church that Jesus said in Matthew chapter 16 and verse 18 that he was going to build? Was that something spiritual? Spiritualized? To be spiritualized? Was it something that you can't see? Or was it physical in nature? Something that was local and visible? And if it is local and visible, what distinguishes the church which he built in Matthew 16, 18 from other so-called churches today? So we are looking at the church the Lord Jesus Christ built. That's what we're concerned about. That's what we're concerned about from Scripture, as being people that redeemed by the Lord Jesus Christ, and being set in the kind of church that he built, that he established. That is where our concern lies. We want to be, and I want to be, and I believe I am, a member of his church. Not universal, but one of his local visible assemblies here on earth in this present day, in my lifetime. And that assembly, according to Matthew 16, 18, has never ceased. His kind of assembly has never ceased to be one in every age since the Lord Jesus Christ established it, organized it, built it, became its head. It's always been there. We have been looking at scriptures where the word ekklesia, the Greek word ekklesia, which is translated most times in our New Testament Bible, church, I believe three times where it was translated assembly, which was a non-Christian assembly. But we've been looking at those 117 times where it's used in the New Testament. Today we come to the place where Paul stated that he persecuted the church. Turn with me to 1 Corinthians. 1 Corinthians, in chapter 15. And look with me at verse 9 here. For I am the least of the apostles, he says, that am not meet or suitable to be called an apostle, because I persecuted the church of God. I asked you, did Paul persecute a universal church? And if he did, how did he go about it? He persecuted local visible assemblies. We know that he was persecuting the assembly at Jerusalem, for he was present at the stoning of Stephen, a member of the church at Jerusalem, and at the time that he was converted, the Lord converted him, causing him to repent and trust the Lord Jesus Christ for salvation. He was on his way to Damascus to persecute a church at Damascus, of which later, I believe, that he was baptized by the pastor of the Damascus church, Ananias. He persecuted local visible assemblies wherever he found them. Scripture says in, look with me at Acts chapter 9. And Saul yet breathing, in verse 1, and Saul yet breathing out threatening and slaughter against the disciples of the Lord, went to the high priest and desired of him letters to Damascus, to the synagogues, that if he found any of this way. In other words, those church members, those saved church members, how did he know whether they were? He knew it by their life. He knew it by their speech. They were out preaching the gospel to folks, and their lives manifested that they were in the Lord Jesus Christ. That's how he knew who they were. And he sought to, he letters to take them and to have them imprisoned, even kill them, if so be. Also, turn with me to the book of Galatians. Book of Galatians, chapter 1, and the Apostle Paul's testimony again, in verse 13, he says, "For ye have heard of my conversation in time past in the Jews' religion, how that beyond measure I persecuted the church of God and wasted it." I mean, I laid it wreck. I laid it havoc. What does that phrase mean? Well, we find out what that phrase means in the book of Acts in chapter 8. When because of the persecution that fell not only upon Stephen, the stoning of Stephen, but persecution that fell upon the church of Jerusalem, they were scattered and went everywhere. Except the apostles. And everywhere they went preaching the gospel of Jesus Christ. I mean, he caused them to scatter. He was one. And he seems to have been a ringleader. Just by his testimony and the comments that he makes, he seems to have been a great ringleader in that endeavor. Not that he was the only one. There were, without a doubt, others. But he was the instigator. He was the ringleader. They were following him in persecuting the church of God. Philippians chapter 3. Philippians chapter 3. In verse 6. Concerning zeal. Persecuting the church. Touching the righteousness which is in the law of blameless. Concerning zeal. He had a zeal. He thought he was doing right. He thought he was doing God service. Wasn't according to the word of God, but it was according to his upbringing and understanding and in the law of God, and this fellow Jesus was an imposter, and those that were following him were just following a ringleader. It wasn't right. The point is, folks, how do you persecute something that's universal in nature? Pretty difficult to do. Impossible to do. There's two other places that I believe definitely refer to it being a local, visible assembly. Turn with me to the book of 1 Timothy. The book of 1 Timothy in chapter 3. Look with me here at verse 5. This is concerning requirements for a bishop, an elder, a pastor. We don't call them bishops today. Sometimes we refer to them as elders, but it's pastor. For if a man know not how to rule his own house, this is that pastor, that bishop, that elder, If he can't rule his own house, how shall he take care of the church of God? I ask you, is his house visible and local? They're talking about those in his household, his family members, his wife and children. If he's not able to rule his own house, which is local and visible, how is he going to take care of the church, which is local and visible? The local assembly over which he's been made pastor. I'll just put in a plug here too. Which he's made pastor, not by necessarily by a vote of the church. Yes, the church votes. But the church votes to determine the Spirit's will in leading in the matter. He's set there by the Holy Spirit of God. Like I said, just as it's an impossibility for Paul to persecute something which is universal in nature, it's an impossible task for me or any other man to take care of something which is universal. I just couldn't do it. I just can't. I don't want to even try to. I wouldn't know where to begin. Turn with me to the other one. In the book of James. In James chapter 5. Verse 14. Is any sick among you? You know, I prefer, we're so programmed to call it the church today, but I prefer the regular meaning of ecclesia, assembly. Is any sick among you? Among whom? Among the church, among the assembly, among the congregation. Is any sick among you? Let him call for the elders of the church. Pastors, the elders, and let them pray over him, anointing him with oil in the name of the Lord. Just to stray from the subject momentarily, why don't we find that going on? Well, we might receive a phone call saying, "Pastor, pray for me." "Oh, what's the matter?" "Well, I'm sick." But this says, let them call for them and come and pray, anointing them with oil. I've only, in my 70 years, seen that take place once. And we participated in it. A lady was sick. She came to her mission pastor with this verse. And he brought it before his pastor, the church, and we met and prayed, and she was anointed with oil while we prayed for her. But the point is, if it's universal, what elder are you going to call? Who's elder over a universal church? Moving on. In the scriptures, there are 37 times that the word is used in the plural. The word ecclesia is translated in the plural form, churches. The usage of the word in the plural form gives us further evidence that there are several local visible. There's not just one big universal church, but there are several local visible governing assemblies. A scriptural understanding of the plurality of churches in the New Testament scriptures, I believe, is necessary for a proper scriptural interpretation of the institutional usage of the word church. There again, reminding you that it refers to kind, rather than any specific church. The Lord's churches. When I say the Lord's churches, it means churches that are following after the kind the Lord Jesus Christ started, established, joined his earthly ministry. They are distinguished by their doctrine. Just as the church at Jerusalem on the day of Pentecost, 3,000 souls were saved that day. And the Lord added daily to the church as many as should be saved, and they were baptized. And in that passage of Scripture, it tells us they continued in the apostles' doctrine. What doctrine is that? It's the doctrine of Jesus Christ. It is that which Jesus Christ taught those men during his earthly ministry. That's why he started his church. And they tarried with him. They ate with him. They slept with him. They went where he went. They witnessed what he witnessed. They had his doctrine. And even the Apostle Paul, in the book of Galatians, in chapter 1, we see the Apostle Paul talking about his after his salvation, his being taken out to the Arabian desert and spending there a long time. What was he doing in the Arabian desert? He was being taught of the Lord Jesus Christ. Why? Because he was to be an apostle to the Gentile
churches,
the elect
Gentiles,
and establish
churches.
So, turn with me to the book of Acts. I told you a couple of weeks ago, or 3 weeks ago, whatever, that by the time we're through, we're going to have gone pretty much through all of Acts again. The book of Acts. Acts chapter 9, and look with me here at verse 31. Give you a synopsis. Paul's on the Damascus Road with a letter to persecute the church of God. God had other plans for him. Jesus Christ had other plans for him. And he meets Jesus Christ. He's brought to repentance and faith. We find him, after that, we find him praying. Praying. Ananias was to go and to find Saul at the time, Saul of Tarsus, and behold, he prayeth. He's praying. And Ananias ends up baptizing him, and Saul at that point, becomes a preacher. A preacher of the gospel of Jesus Christ. So verse 31 of this ninth chapter then says, after some events had transpired, then had the churches rest throughout all Judea and Galilee and Samaria, and were edified and walking in the fear of the Lord and in the comfort of the Holy Ghost were multiplied. The churches had rest, and the churches were multiplying. Why wouldn't it say, and the church, if it's universal, the church had rest, and the church was multiplied? Because it's not universal. The churches. What churches? Have you thought about that yet? What churches? You say, well, I thought there was only one church at this point. Because it's not till we get to the 11th chapter of Acts that we can begin to find some kind of hint, definitively, another church coming into existence under the authority of the Church of Jerusalem. But this is the ninth chapter. After Saul's conversion and the churches had rest. Well, the ninth chapter follows the eighth chapter. What happened in the eighth chapter? The church in Jerusalem was persecuted, and upon that persecution, that great persecution that arose, they were scattered, went everywhere preaching the gospel. But even though scriptures leaves out the beginning of every church that began upon the preaching of the gospel. Listen, the preaching of the gospel, souls were saved. What was done with them? They were baptized. They were baptized what? Under the authority of the Jerusalem church. Well, they needed a church. They needed an assembly in that area where they were. So they were organized. Organized under whose authority? organized under the authority of the Lord Jesus Christ through the church at Jerusalem, the one that the Lord Jesus Christ gave authority to. And that authority is passed on to every church that is organized scripturally. So, we find churches, plural here. I told you, a church that I believe wholeheartedly, even though Scripture does not record the beginning of the Damascus church, I believe wholeheartedly there was a church at Damascus. Now, Damascus is a city in Syria. It wasn't in Israel. But there were members of the church in Jerusalem that were scattered up to Damascus. And they preached the word where they went. So the church was organized. There were several of these kind of churches. What kind? The same kind as the church of Jerusalem. What kind was that? The kind that was continuing in the apostles' doctrine. They were continuing in the doctrine of Jesus Christ, that which he had taught his apostles. Turn with me to the 15th chapter. In verse 41. Chapter 15. Members of the church at Jerusalem, Jewish members, church at Jerusalem was predominantly Jewish members who were imposing works on Gentiles, traveled from Jerusalem down to Antioch, stirred up a stir, requiring that those Gentiles there at Antioch be circumcised. To make a long story short, they sent up Paul and Barnabas and other company up to the church at Jerusalem, to the apostles and elders there at Jerusalem, about this question. It came down, works are not necessary for salvation. It is by grace and by grace alone. No works. The only thing we determine is that they should abstain from meats given to idols and from blood. Paul and Barnabas are trying to get up another missionary journey. Barnabas wants to take John Mark with him, but John Mark had left in the middle of the first journey. And Paul says, no, John Mark is not going. There was sharp contention between them, and so Barnabas took John Mark, and Paul said to Silas, you go with me. And Silas says, I'll go with you. So Paul and Silas set out. Verse 41. Well, let me get it. And he went, that is Paul and his company, Silas with him, went through Syria and Cilicia, confirming the churches. Confirming the churches. Making fast the churches. All the churches which he and Barnabas had established on the first missionary journey under the authority of the Antioch church, and any churches that those churches had organized since then, Paul and Silas and his company went through these regions making fast. In other words, making sure they're sticking with the doctrine, making sure they're sticking with the stuff, and preaching them to them greater truths even concerning the doctrine of Jesus Christ. The churches. They went to specific churches. Again, I ask you, what kind? They were the kind the Lord Jesus Christ started. They were
That was the purpose of Paul and Silas. Making sure they're being steadfast, that they're being unmovable in the Word. In the Word of God. One Word. That which was taught to the church at Jerusalem, those members, persecution came, scattered everywhere, preaching the Word, teaching the Word, churches organized, started, the Antioch church being one of those. Barnabas goes down to Antioch, organizes that church. After it's organized, he goes up to Tarsus to get Saul, and Saul and Barnabas go to Antioch, and they continue there a long time, preaching and teaching the Word of God, confirming that church. They remain in that church. That church sends them forth to do mission work. They go forth to do mission work, and they preach the gospel, so as it says, and they start other churches under the authority of the Antioch church. And now, Paul and Silas are going back to those churches, making sure they're being steadfast in the doctrine and even increasing their learning, if necessary, on things. And even the churches that those churches have started, which should be continuing in the same doctrine as the church at Antioch. And the Antioch church continuing in the same doctrine which the church at Jerusalem taught all the way back to Christ. The doctrine of the Grace Baptist Church of Melbourne, Florida today ought to be continuing in the Apostles' Doctrine, in the same doctrine as her mother church, 12 Ryan Baptist Church. Hopefully 12 Ryan Baptist Church is continuing in the same doctrine, and her mother, all the way back to the church at Jerusalem, continuing in the apostles' doctrine. The apostles got their doctrine from Jesus Christ. It's what makes us peculiar, different. We aren't to continue in the doctrine of Charles Wesley, Charles and John Wesley. We're not to continue in the doctrine of Martin Luther. We're not to continue in the doctrine of James Smith. We are to continue in the doctrine of Jesus Christ. And that doctrine is how we can know whether a church is the assembly of the Lord, the assembly of Jesus Christ. Chapter 19, or 16, in verse 5. And so were the churches established in the faith. This is back to Derbe and Lystra and those places, and where they picked up a man by the name of Timotheus, who was a Greek. And because Paul was going to be taking Timothy with him on his journey, and the other Jewish Christians and stuff, and they knew that Timothy's father was a Greek. Well, Paul had Timothy circumcised and went with him. And it says, and so were the churches established in the faith and increased in number daily. Again, plurality. There's several of these local, visible assemblies scattered throughout the world at this time. Paul went into all the world preaching the gospel of Jesus Christ. Paul even had plans, no indication that he ever made it there, but Paul even had plans to make it to Spain. Read that in, was it his letter to the Romans? I think he talked about going to Spain. He never made it there. I think his intentions was from Rome to travel, which is in Italy, to travel on over to Spain from there. So quite a ways away from Jerusalem.
You see? All right, chapter 19. Chapter 19. In verse 37. This is concerning the insurrection that started at Ephesians, because some silversmiths saw that their livelihood was dwindling. Why was it dwindling? Because Paul and Gaius and Aristarchus and his company were preaching the gospel, and many souls were responding to the gospel being preached. And what happened when these souls got saved? Well, the thing that should happen to every soul that becomes saved, becomes born again, becomes in Christ Jesus, they quit their idolatry. And when they quit their idolatry, they no longer had need of those images made with silver and gold and wood. And so these silversmiths, they saw their livelihood dwindling away. Those people no longer needed their craftsmanship. And they take a man by the name of Alexander, who seems to accompany Paul. Whether he's the same Alexander that Paul later on said was not good for him because he did him evil, that Alexander was a coppersmith. This passage of Scripture doesn't talk about any coppersmiths. But it's not sure, but it, never mind. He was Alexander, and he was a Jew. But anyhow, concerning these men in verse 37, it says, "For ye have brought hither these men, Gaius and Aristarchus and Alexander, which are neither robbers of churches, nor yet blasphemers of your goddess." They're not robbers of the churches that were organized in the Ephesian church. They're not robbers of those churches. And they're not even blasphemers of the goddess Diana, which was the Ephesian goddess, they said. But note the churches. Well, how... The church is not universal. Otherwise, it's not churches. And the church is not universal. Otherwise, how can robbers rob a universal church? Which these men weren't robbers. But the town clerks, they're not robbers of the churches. You see. Another place where that is used. Turn with me to Romans. The book of Romans in chapter 16. And I guess we're going to have to call this to a close. Romans chapter 16 and verse 15. Salute Philogus and Julia, Nerus and his sister, and Olympus, and all the saints which are with them. Salute one another with an holy kiss. The churches of Christ salute you. There again... If the church is universal, why didn't Paul just say, the church salute you. Because it's not universal. Scripture doesn't know anything of a universal church. These were churches of the Lord Jesus Christ, as determined by their doctrine. And Paul says, these churches salute you. So,
well,
I said, we're